And let me just ask the class, you know, amidst even the trials that you experience, the suffering that you experience, perhaps you've experienced persecution or suffering for the gospel. Anyone ever experienced that? Ever share the gospel? Ever received just a hostile response? Somebody didn't want to hear about the gospel or anything like that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Raise your hands. Okay, put them down. Thank you. So today we're going to be looking here in 2 Corinthians about the Apostle Paul and his ministry to the Corinthians. You know, actually, if you've experienced those things, I want to congratulate you because you're in good company. And what that tells me is that God continues to use His church for those very same things. Now, a couple weeks ago, I used a Mr. Potato Head, and y'all let me get by with that. And you still allow me in the Sunday school class. So today I have an exercise. What would the Unity class be without an exercise? So I'm going to ask you to take this mirror and take a good look. Don't take a look too long, but take a look and then pass it along. And then I'm going to show you, or I'm going to speak about that later in the class, but take a look at that mirror. Now, when you look in a mirror, obviously you want to see a reflection of yourself. You want to see how you appear to other people. Maybe your hair is straight, or your makeup's on right, or your clothes, you know. You want to make sure that you look right in front of other people. So oftentimes we use a mirror to get a reflection of who we are. So pass that out. Enjoy that. Don't enjoy it too long. But we're in 2 Corinthians today. Chapter 4, I encourage you to turn your Bible this morning. I'm going to be reading here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verses 5, all the way down to 18. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to try to get through this lesson here in the time that we have this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. You see, the Corinthians needed to understand something, that amidst their suffering, it was a part of their faith and their growth for the glory of God. Now, the reason I say that is because today we as believers need to know that we are the light in this dark world that God uses for His glory despite sometimes what the circumstances appear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The beginning of this here, I want us to see, is that all believers should have confidence in the power of God. The apostle Paul is having to defend his apostleship. There was many people when Paul was writing this back in Ephesus, there were many people that had already gone to Corinth and that were slandering Paul, and he was having to defend his apostleship, and they were doing it openly. And so the beginning of this verse, he says in verse 5, he says, I didn't preach about myself. I preached Jesus Christ. Because he says, he preaches about the confidence we all should have in the power. And look what he says here in verse 5. He says, For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And then later he says, let light shine out of darkness. He's quoting from Genesis 1:3. In other words, the creator of the universe, who has created everything and created us, has created the same light, and it is shown in our hearts. He is giving the basis and the beginning of this foundation of this letter here is that we as believers are to have the confidence in the power of God because he has deposited that in our heart. In the midst of the sufferings, let me ask you, have any of you come in here this morning suffering? Have you been suffering from any kind of affliction? Have you been perplexed? Have you been feeling like you've been struck down? Maybe health conditions, or perhaps even in your witness of the gospel to others, have you felt these things? Paul wants us to know, and the scriptures wants us, God wants to tell each of us that we have the power in God and the light that he has shown in our hearts. That is the light that all of us are to extend to others, especially in this Corinthian church. This was a very difficult church for Paul to minister to. He had spent 18 months there. He had gone back to Ephesus. He had wrote a letter. That letter was lost. They wrote back to him with some questions. He wrote 1 Corinthians. Then he wrote a tearful letter. And then he writes this letter in 2 Corinthians. So it was actually there was four letters of Corinthians. And so in this particular passage here, Paul wants them to understand, I alone have undertaken persecution. And believers, all of us understand that we have this power of God, that God has shown the light inside of us, which is Christ in us. Many of you have read the book, Obedience of God. Is anyone in here testifies to that? Have you read The Obedience of God, written by Nick Ripken? Nick Ripken tells story after story after story about the persecuted church. Very similar to the persecuted church here in Corinth and Paul being persecuted. And he tells a story about a pastor named Demetri. Demetri was a pastor who had suffered persecution, and all he did was that he was a father in the USSR in the time of communist rule in the Cold War that was hostile to the gospel. And that they were being persecuted. Many of the churches were being closed down, but he decided that he wanted his light to shine. So he decided to start a Bible study, first just in his home, with his family, with his children. Well, it became so popular that the neighbors heard about it, and they started crowding in. And before you know it, they had about 75 to 80 people in this little house of his. Well, the government officials didn't like that too much, and they didn't take too kindly to him sharing the gospel. So they decided that they were going to arrest him, and they did. But he did not let that prevent him displaying the power of God from the light that God had in his own heart to share the gospel with others. Also, we're to understand, and Paul says here, he gives us this illustration that we have this deposit in us, this treasure of the risen Christ in us, in our hearts. And he says, it's a treasure that's in a jar of clay. Now, why a jar of clay? Well, clay pots were kind of popular at this time. People used them to store things. They might have put valuables in there. They could have put jewelry in there. They could have had all kinds of articles. But a clay pot is not really strong. You know, have anyone ever used a clay pot before for planting or something? An earthenware clay pot, right? It's not very strong. Kind of breaks easy if it's out in the elements. Who's the clay pots in this?
We.
You are. You're the clay pot. And what he's saying is, you have this deposit in you that is actually a treasure. You ever have a piggy bank as a kid? Okay? I don't know if kids have piggy banks much anymore, but we had a piggy bank, you know, and so you'd put the coins in there, and pretty soon the little piggy bank would be full of treasure. But the piggy bank wasn't so strong, was it?
Nope.
I mean, if you wanted to get the money out, there was only two things you could do. You could take a hammer, right? And you could break it, you could smash it, you could destroy it. Or you could be smart, take the piggy bank and turn it upside down and shake it. And shake it. Till you could get all that treasure out of that piggy bank. Folks, there's a treasure in us that has been deposited in us, which is the risen Christ. And sometimes God needs to get that treasure out. And sometimes in the course of our lives, we become afflicted. We become perplexed. We become struck down. And sometimes in our callousness and our hardness or our indifference or our self-serving, sometimes God has a way of shaking us up and getting that treasure out. And oftentimes that comes in persecution and that comes in suffering. But He gives us a hope here. And so the hope that we have is that believers can be confident that that suffering actually reveals Jesus. You see, when Dimitri was arrested by those government officials, he was sent 1,000 kilometers from his home. He was given an all-expense-paid trip to the Russian gulag, which was prison. And in that prison, he was the only believer with 1,500 hardened criminals. He shared that in his testimony, the hardest affliction was being apart from the body of Christ. But Dimitri had two things in his life that his father taught him, two spiritual principles. One, each day he would rise early in the morning, he would face east, he would raise his arms, and he would sing his heart's song to God. The second discipline that he had that his father taught him is that he would write things down on a piece of paper. Bible verses, songs, anything that he could, he would write down. Now, in prison, it wasn't always an easy place to do, but if he could get a scrap piece of paper, he would get a half a pencil or a piece of charcoal, and he would write it down. And in his little cell that was probably maybe not even 8 by 10, he would get some water, and he would put it up on a pillar. And that was his offering to God. Each day, he would write something down. He would sing his heart song to God. In a place with 1,500 criminals. The text says here that we have this treasure in jars of clay, but I want you to see something here. Look at verse 7. What does it say, this treasure? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And then he continues, he says, we're afflicted in every way. He lists these four things. We're afflicted, we're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. But in every one of these things, he says, but not crushed, but not driven to despair, but not forsaken, but not destroyed. Despite of the suffering that believers experience, we have the hope and the assurance and promises that despite what all of us are experiencing, it's not the end. It's not the end result for us. And that we have a hope. Believers can be confident that that suffering actually is our way of revealing Jesus to this dark and sinful and twisted world that we live in today. It is the same world that the believers experienced here in the first century. The next thing I want us to see, that believers can be confident that God will preserve them through this suffering. Now, why do I say that? This morning, many of you gave the testimonies of praises. And you also asked for prayer requests. Paul actually speaks about prayer requests here. And he's quoting the psalmist from Psalm 116, verse 10. Look at verse 13 with me. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith, not meaning the Holy Spirit, but an attitude of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. He's quoting from the psalmist in Psalm 116. The same believer, the same psalmist, the same person that had faith in prayer, that believed that if he prayed, God would listen, And God would hear his prayer and answer his prayer. And so what he's saying is like, I spoke this before, I believe this before I even spoke it. Because I know that I have a God who listens to prayer. He hears that and he answers prayers. And so despite of the affliction that each of us may experience or being struck down or being crushed, that's not the end result for us. So we have this hope. We have this confidence. When Dimitri was in prison and he was carrying out these spiritual disciplines, he would get up and he was giving his heart song with these 1,500 criminals. I have to tell you, they didn't receive him so well at first. Many of them would throw garbage at him, or they would throw human waste, or they would jeer at him or yell at him and everything. He had to suffer just as Jesus suffered in a place that was dark. But he was confident that Christ would continue to hold him up. But even Dimitri got beaten down. And so he was in this prison for 17 years. Whoa. To the point where his own spirit felt like it was broken, that they were going to break him down. And so they kept relentlessly asking him and telling him, you must denounce your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, after 17 years, one day Dimitri said, okay, I'll sign it. I'll sign it. And they said, all right, we'll sign it tomorrow. And so he went back to his cell and he was just overwhelmed and despondent. And he continued to pray. But in that moment, his own family had sensed by the power of the Holy Spirit at that moment when he went back to his cell that they needed to pray for him. You see, the guards and everyone told Dimitri, they said, your wife has been murdered, you're killed, and your children have been driven off by the state. But in that moment when he went back to his cell, his wife hadn't been murdered. His children hadn't been driven off by the state. But they sensed the great need of prayer, and so they prayed. They got on their knees and they prayed. And at that moment, Dimitri said he heard his family praying for him. And so he knew that his wife hadn't been murdered. He knew that his children were fine. So the next morning, got up, he went to the guards, and they said, all right, it's time to sign. And he said, I'm not signing it. They said, what do you mean? He said, you lied to me. My wife is not murdered. She's not dead. My children are safe and they are fine. So they picked him up and they grabbed him and they dragged him out of his cell and they dragged him to the corridor, off to the courtyard for execution. Each of us must understand that we can be confident in our suffering because it benefits others. When Dimitri was driven through this corridor, 1,500 criminals saw what was happening. And they had heard for 17 years his heart song. And they knew his testimony. And when those guards dragged him out of the corridor, the man who had led his life to shine the light of Christ, who had suffered like Christ, when he was dragged through that corridor, 1,500 criminals stood up, faced the east, and they sang their heart song to God. And so as the guards had dragged Dimitri through the corridor out to the courtyard, they heard the clamoring and the yelling and the singing of the heart song of these 1,500 prisoners. And in their terror, they dropped Dimitri. And they said, who are you? To which point Dimitri stood up, his back straight, and he said, I am a child of God. I am heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they released him, and he went back to his family. You see, believers can be confident in this future salvation that each of us have. Look at verse 16 here this morning. I want us to see something. The verse says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Well, our temporal bodies are wasting away. Paul speaks about it in the following chapter, that our bodies are like tents. They get folded, they get wrinkled, they sag. So our bodies are, but we are being renewed inside. So each of us as believers can be confident. that we have this truth, but I want us to see something. He says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. It is almost as if the truth and the knowledge and the promises that we have are on this grand scale. On one side of the scale is this feather. That's the affliction that we experience. The other side of the scale is the eternal weight of glory, which is the anvil of God's promises and future salvation for all of us. What happens? Doesn't compare. And so each of us must understand that we can be confident in the future salvation that we have. Look with me also, as he says here in verse 18, he says, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We live in this dark and sinful world that tries to distract and discourage each of us every day, oftentimes to what looking at what is only temporary. And oftentimes for many of us is most painful. But every believer, every one of us is called to be that light. God has deposited that light in us to shine in a dark place. Now, you might not be in a Russian gulag for 17 years. You might go on a mission trip. You might be serving in a ministry here at church. You might be ministering to your own family that may have unbelievers, or your neighbors that have unbelievers. We have an eternal perspective by knowing that which is perishing on the outside, the scripture says, but it's being renewed day by day on the inside. All along the way of our suffering, we have to know that we have hope that lives lived out in faith of this persecution and suffering brings glory to God. That's verse 15. What does the text say? For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase. Thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, earlier I passed out a mirror. And you looked at it, and I said it allows us to see what others see. But let me ask you a question. In your own faith walk, what would you like people to see when you share the gospel? What would you like them to see in you? You looked at that mirror this morning and how you look, because how you appear to other people. How would you like them to see you when you share the gospel? What would you like people to see when you share the gospel?
Christ.
Let me ask you another question. How can you reflect Christ when you share the gospel? Oftentimes, what we need to do is just share what Christ has done in your life, in your testimonies. Keep your focus on heaven and not on this temporary world. And what God wants us to do, what we realize is that when this happens, and for the church of Corinth, that even in the midst of that persecution and suffering, in your faithfulness, you glorify God. And that's what he wanted the church in Corinth to know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the testimonies. We thank you, Father, for the truth of your word this morning, that for all of us, Lord, that feel sometimes that we are afflicted, we are perplexed, we are struck down, we feel downtrodden in all these things, Lord, whether it is sharing the gospel or just in our life in general, Lord, help us to be that reflection of Christ to a watching world, to a sinful world, Father, to a dark world. Help us to be that light in every way, in our church family, in our own families, Father, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, throughout the world. Help us to shine the light of Christ, Father, for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.